Good Saturday afternoon. You're listening to Woods and Water SC on 94.5 WGTK. My name is Roger Betts, and I'm back live in the studio today after taking off last Saturday. Hope you had a good fourth. I know I did. You can listen to this show on your FM dial, the free Conservative Talk 94.5 app, or listen to the live streaming feed at conservativetalk945w.com. Just look on the right side of the webpage, click the Listen Live link. Like I said, I wasn't here last Saturday. I hope you enjoyed the segments I picked from the previous shows. It's kind of funny when you start to do a best of and you're looking at all of, what, 14 weeks or so. But anyway, I hope you enjoyed them again. If you heard them for the first time, well, welcome back. Yes, I did. I smoked 30 pounds of barbecue last Saturday. I've done 22 butts at 10 pounds, but I did three this past Saturday. I guess now I'm qualified to do four because that's how much grill space I've got. But it was really funny. At 3:15, and I didn't listen to the show last Saturday. I'm sorry. I just didn't listen. I'd already heard it several times before. At 3:15, he pulls up in my backyard, and he goes, "Wait a minute. I just heard you on the radio. Why aren't you on the radio?" And then he said, "But besides that fact, you said something about you're changing the way you're going to smoke those things." He said, "Don't mess it up. It's good like it is." But I did change things up. I brined those Boston butts this time, and it made all the difference in the world. At least to me, it did. And I think he was fine with the changes too. The brine was really simple. It was a quarter cup of sea salt, 1 cup of dark brown sugar, 2 cups of apple juice, and 2 cups of water. And I got some 2 gallon Ziploc bags, put them in there. I turned them a couple of times just because I wanted to make sure that it was most of it being covered. But I had them in a cooler with some ice, left them out overnight in the ice, nice and cold, got them out the next day. I did put a little rub on them like I normally do, but I didn't do a whole lot because I wanted to see if I could taste the difference in the brine being there. Of course, I put some more brown sugar on them. And, man, it was great. I did, and Mike Horn with the South Carolina Barbecue Association told me, he said, "Don't foil them and put them direct heat." Cause what I've been doing is I've been cooking them 7 hours, wrapping them in tin foil, 2 hours direct heat. And I was burning the bottoms of them. And he said, "Don't do that. Don't foil them. Just bring your heat up, leave them indirect." And in about the same time, I had 185 degrees and, It was really good, but I didn't have any burned bottoms, didn't taste any burn in the meat, which was really nice. So thanks to some advice from somebody who knows more, Mike, if you're listening, thanks for teaching me a lesson. I hope everybody else had a great weekend, a safe one. Was anybody at the coast? Did they see the planes fly down the beach? My wife and I actually talked about making that drive, and at the last minute, we got a phone call from friends. So they just come up to our house, and I was like, okay. 4.5, 8, 9 hours of driving for a couple of hours, or going up to their house and letting them cook out and sitting in an easy chair and talking for the rest of the night. And I said, "We'll just stay home." So if you went down to the coast, if you have pictures or something, email them to me, Roger@woodsandwatersc.com. I'd love to see them. If you were down there and want to call on the show, love to have you call on the show. The local number is 235-9405. 877-235-9405. You're outside the area. Love to hear from you. Tell us what happened on the beach beside you. You know, what kind of planes were around, just the atmosphere. It's going to be a good show today, and I need you to be involved. Deer hunting is just around the corner, and I want to talk to you a bit about an article on the Quality Deer Management Association webpage about technology and hunting. I'm not going to give you an opinion. It's up to you. I just want you to think about whether or not your technology is actually doing more hunting than you are. And yeah, it applies to fishing too. I saw a Livingston lure ad, and it had actually a motherboard and electronic lights and stuff. So it crosses the boundaries. But anyway, just something for you to think about. We're going to do that after the 3:15 break. So get your thoughts together. Listen to what I got to say. If you got an opinion or a comment or something, give me a call. We're going to talk to Geddes Brannon from the USC Collegiate Bass Fishing Tournament at the bottom of the hour. Tell you, that is one busy young man. But I really enjoy his enthusiasm. I hope you will too. Some good things happening for those guys. And we'll go to the calendar of events. Tuesday at 5 o'clock is the deadline for the South Carolina Wildlife Federation's photo contest for this year. And believe it or not, I have four photographs that I'm going to submit by Tuesday. The categories, Carolina Critters, I've got two really good pictures I'm going to send in there. Scenes of South Carolina, I've got two there. Kids in Nature. Well, I missed that one. But anyway, there are some requirements. Go to the South Carolina Wildlife Federation webpage. Look at the, under the events tab. Look at the photo contest and send them in. There's some prizes, $100 for first place of each category. There are some eligibility rules and some, you know, what you can do with the picture and that sort of thing. But that's Tuesday night, 5:15. If you're going to do that, you need to do it quickly. Ah, July 17th through the 19th, the South Carolina Peach Festival in Gaffney, South Carolina. And Dave and I are enjoying a peach milkshake from Chick-fil-A. You can't talk about peaches and not have a peach milkshake in front of you. Did you know that South Carolina actually produces more peaches than our southern neighbor, the peach state of Georgia? I just looked it up a few minutes ago. I heard something about it. And actually, we're referred to as the tastier peach state. So, and it's funny, if you go on the west side of I-26 through Edgefield, Johnston, down through there, man, the peach orchards are everywhere. But you flip right over the other side of 26 and it's peanuts and cotton. So it's just different areas of the state, but that area over there just grows some great peaches. Anyway, Gaffney, July 17th through the 19th, the South Carolina Peach Festival. And the real draw here for me is not the peaches, the golf tournament, that sort of thing, but you have on Friday the 18th, we have a Wing Ding Barbecue. Now, this barbecue competition is a qualifying event for the World Championships held in Las Vegas. So this is big time barbecue cookers down there. But Friday night's event is a Wing Ding event from 6 to 10. You buy a ticket and they let you sample everybody's wings. The festival gives those wings to the cookers, to cooking teams, and they fix them for us. So if you're out there on Friday night in Gaffney at the Peach Festival, get you some good wings, because I guarantee you those are going to be better than what you buy in any store around here. Then on Saturday, they have the actual barbecue butt cook-off, 10:15 to 2 p.m. I'm not sure if they're giving out samples, but still, the smells will be worth going over there for that. That's in Gaffney. You can go to the Peach Festival website and get all the information. Glendale Outdoor Leadership School. That will be on from July the 21st to the 25th. They have one more week of Summer Out Venture Camp. That's where it's a day camp. It's rock climbing, mountain biking, hiking, kayaking. Really nice little thing. They have some Groupons out there and some Living Social coupons, so check that out. But the website for that is www.gols.org. That's the Glendale Outdoor Leadership School, and that camp is right on the other side of Spartanburg. Very easy to get to from Greenville and the surrounding areas. Here's one for the beachgoers. Hunting Island State Park, the 6th annual sand sculpture contest. Now, I don't know anybody that's good enough to be there sculpting the sand, but if you're in the beach, this is just Hunting Island State Park is down there near Beaufort, in that area down there, Hilton Head. They're going to have the sand carving. So it'd be a good thing at 12 to 4 p.m. right out in front of the lighthouse. They even have a beach music festival going on at the same time. So, beachgoers, there's your opportunity to see some really cool beach sculptures. Right down the road at Walnut Grove Military Historical Park is Militia Day. That is going to be July the 26th from 11 to 4. It's going to be reenactors. Not many people know that little area right there had an important role in America's War for Independence. So the reenactors will be in camp there. Stories, activities, military drills, that sort of thing. That's right there at Walnut Grove, Saturday, July 26th. Greenville County Rec is going to offer a mountain bike camp, and it's going to be July the 28th to August the 1st, 7:30 to 5:30 every day, boys and girls 8 to 12, and this is going to be a good one. They're going to take you to Parrish Mountain State Park, Issaquena Trail, Lake Trail, DuPont State Park up in North Carolina, and they're going to take you to Otter Creek Discovery Island Water Park. So if you're right here in Greenville, your kid likes to ride his bikes, you like to mountain bike, want to get him involved, Greenville County is ready to teach him how to do it. Take him places. Good day camp for the kids. Got a few more, and I'll see you on the other side of the break. And welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. I've got just a couple more. I had somebody email me a flyer for the 10th annual Quest for the Record Book Sportsman's Banquet, featuring David Hale from Night and Hale Game Calls. That's going to be Friday, August the 1st, at the West End Baptist Church in Rock Hill, South Carolina. And they list a couple of places. I don't think they have a website you can go buy the tickets at, but Nichols Store. You can get them at Sportsman's Inc. You can get them at Nichols is over on off I-77. Sportsman's is up at, I can't remember the little crossroads they're up at. List a couple more, Southern Draw Archery, the outdoor shop in York, Jamie K. Outfitters Outdoors in Fort Lawn. This is always a great banquet. They always have a lot of people turn out and they always bring in somebody very cool. Plus they have door prizes like you would not believe. So if you're in the area of Rock Hill, go listen to David Hale from Night and Hale Game Calls at the 10th annual Quest for the Record Book Sportsman Banquet. And finally, Life Point's third annual Hooked on Life Fishing Tournament. It's happening down in Charleston, August the 8th, 9th, and 10th. Friday is the captain's meeting, silent auction, late registration. So if you're last minute, you can get in on it. Saturday, August 9th, the tournament, 6 to 4, inshore, Edisto Island, the Bulls Bay, redfish, flounder, and sea trout. And then, of course, Saturday afternoon, scorecards, live auctions, and a barbecue. So if you're down on the coast that weekend in August, it'd be a good inshore tournament for you to go check out. As always, I will be putting the calendar events up on the Facebook page, and I am going to get a lot better about updating the website. And bear with me. Dave's going to help me out here sooner or later. Once he gets his feet back on the ground. But anyway, get that part back up. The website, www.woodsandwatersc.com, and there's no ampersand. That's woodsandwatersc.com, the Facebook, facebook.com, Woods and Water, South Carolina. I've got to get all that back up. If you want to call on the show, 235-9405, 877-235-9405 if you're outside the area. Now, deer season is right around the corner. Yes, it's July, but, you know, primitive weapon season starts and that sort of thing. And I just want to preface this whole little discussion here on this segment. There are 8,760 hours in a year. Let's put this in reference point. And that deer is out there 8,760 hours in a year being a deer. My puny little 40, 50, 60 hours in a 4-month season, I'm not going to match wits with that deer. And a lot of times I might need as much help as I can get. A lot of people say it's 90% being in the woods and 10% absolute luck. But with everything, there's a price to pay for it. And technology is just off the charts. And I know we had Lanford Holloway here talking about HuntStand.com, HuntStand app. And I'm looking at the app right now. And there's not a whole lot in here that I wouldn't do anyway, whether it's Google Earth or AccuWeather. Putting pins in where my stands are going to be and that sort of thing. Moon phases. You know, I've been doing those ever since I was hunting. Wind direction, that sort of thing. But it's technology is come in, and there's a good article on the Quality Deer Management Association website. It's called Hunting Technology, How Far Is Too Far? And it said, it actually goes back to, remember when phones had cords? And if you wanted to learn about something, you had to drive to the library and look it up. I actually had to go to the library the other day, and I was lost. Technology, the rise of the internet, the popularity of the smartphone, other technological advances in hunting equipment have impacted the way many of us spend our time in the field or don't spend time in the field. Some hunters welcome the technology and embrace any gadget that increases their odds of success in the fields. Others feel that technology is ruining the experience and taking away from the woodsmanship that hunters once relied on to be successful. In the end, we are each left to answer a question. How far is too far when it comes to hunting technology? The first little blurb here is about internet hunting. And I don't know if you remember this. This was back in the mid-2000s. There was a guy in Texas who took internet hunting to the extreme. And it was live shot. And it was a hunter. And the article actually says, and I use that term loosely, he could sit at home, remotely control a firearm mounted in a blind on a Texas ranch. And when the deer he wanted showed up, He used the live video screen, aimed the gun, pulled the trigger, never have to leave his house. Now that is an extreme. And it drew criticism from all over the United States, all over the world, from hunters and anti-hunters. You know, hunters in general are self-governing bunch of guys. They're always going to be your renegades on the sidelines. And I have a few friends who are renegades. But still, they themselves know the boundaries. They know when things go too hard. And this was one of those examples. Texas turned around and outlawed his practice or his method of hunting. So it never really even got out of the ground. But the internet's out there. You know, you got handheld devices, smartphones. What's to say that in a few years you can't just do that from your smartphone? You know, there's currently an app that attaches to your bow or gun sight and allows you to see your target on your phone screen. You know, it's not really a big deal at this point. What if that app could sync with a smart gun and automatically fire when your crosshairs reach the ideal sharp shot placement on the deer? It would eliminate poor shots due to flinching or jerking the trigger, but would it be ethical? What if a smartphone is developed with includes thermal imaging capability, allowing you to see deer in thick cover at long distances you would never be able to spot with your naked eyes? Would you welcome the technology or speak out against it? May sound a little far-fetched, but smartphones were far-fetched just 10 years ago. So there's the intro, and then it goes into several of them, and I'm going to skip one and go to the second one. I'll come back to the first one. Drones. You know, we're all a little leery of drones. But drones are really cool. A friend of mine in Charleston just posted up a video shot from a drone of a school of redfish in shallow water. And I was sitting there looking at it going, that is really cool. Because it gives you a totally different perspective on what a school of redfish is doing. Then even at the end of it, he dropped the drone down to just over the top of the water. And of course it blew out the school of redfish. They scattered everywhere, but it was really cool. Now, drones and hunting, you know, in some states you can't fly and hunt the same day. And that's to prevent you from flying in your airplane, locating the game you want, and then landing and going and getting it. So a lot of it's already decided at some state levels. But, you know, drones are something else. And there were a couple of articles about the states who have moved to ban drone-assisted hunting. Alaska was the third state here recently. This is an article based back in March. It's the latest I could find. So Alaska has Alaska Board of Game approved a regulation that would prohibit hunters from spotting game with unmanned aerial vehicles or drones. It should have gone into law July the 1st. Montana banned the use of drones in hunting last month. Colorado did so in January. Idaho and Wisconsin say drones are covered under current regulations that prohibit the use of aircraft to hunt, to harass hunters, or disturb wildlife. Other states could soon impose bans, like Wyoming, New Mexico, and Vermont, where hunting groups have petitioned wildlife officials to outlaw the UAVs. And there's a quote in here from Eric News, former executive director of Orion, the Hunters Institute. He says, "We feel that the use of drones to aid in hunting is inappropriate and overwhelmingly technology that would essentially undermine the concept of fair chase hunting." And I guess that's where we're trying to go. How far do you go and still have a fair chase hunting scenario? And this issue unites two groups which are typically at odds. Animal rights activists believe that drone-assisted hunting is cruel, while many hunters groups believe it's cheating. And I agree with them. I agree with both of them on this instance. It's cheating. I don't condone drone hunting at all. I don't think many of you out there have any idea, besides the fact if you've ever been over the canopy of South Carolina, a drone is totally useless. Because in the woods, if you can't see them laterally in the woods, you're not going to see them vertically, not with this canopy we've got. But, you know, later on the season it could be, and whitetails will spook sometimes. So, and that was one of the things in Colorado that they ran into. They were finding people who would use a drone to spook game towards the hunter. And, you know, that's just wrong as far as I'm concerned. So, anyway, I don't think many of us would have a problem with drones. They're kind of cool. Like I said, that red fishing video, if you get a chance to Google the drone red fishing video, it's a great little video. But I want to go back to the one that I skipped earlier, and I never have, but trail cameras. And it used to be you were surprised when you saw a deer. You're like, wow, I had no idea he was around. But a lot of that's taken away with trail cameras these days. Everybody's got them. I don't have one. I don't know why. Maybe the distance is too much where I'd have to put it up and go check it. It's just not feasible now. I understand there are ones now you can go on the internet and upload to the internet and watch a live feed and that sort of thing. But I've just kind of signed off on the trail camera thing is, you know, when I go hunting and go in the woods, I want to be surprised at what I see. I want to put in a little work, a little field time, finding out where these deer are moving and that sort of thing. Or if I'm too lazy to do that, I'll just take my chances with where my stand was last year. So, but trail cameras, 20 years, the technology has changed the way we deer hunt, and the trail camera has been more of it. Deer hunters love their trail cameras. You know, while it's hard to say where technology will take trail cameras next, it wouldn't be hard to imagine one that offers a 360-degree view, that provides a live feed accessible 24/7 from your smartphone or computer, similar to today's home security cameras. Or what if your trail camera, working in conjunction with a cell phone app, could actually catalog individual bucks by facial recognition, and based on when and where that buck is photographed across the property, could tell you exactly when to hunt a particular stand or where to place a stand. It sounds crazy, but the technology is already in place for someone to develop just such a camera and app. It's something to think about. You know, how far is too far? It's the final wrap up to this article is it has been said that the only thing constant in life is change, and with technology rapidly advancing, we are sure to continue to see more changes in the way we hunt. In most cases, it will be up to each of us individually to decide how far is too far when it comes to hunting technology. Some inventions will come along, such as live shot, that fall so far outside that it's, you know, everybody stands against it. Other ideas, such as the use of smartphone apps and high-tech trail cameras, will have sheriff supporters in opposition. That whole segment was just to get you to think. Is your technology doing more hunting than you are? Is it replacing what we used to call woodsmanship? Something for you to think about. What's your take on it? We'll talk to Geddes Brannon after the break and find out a little bit about fishing. He fished a tournament today. It'll be interesting to hear his results. See you back on the other side of the hour. And welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. I hope nobody took offense at the last one. It wasn't coming across as anything other than just to make you think. I don't do a lot of that stuff. I just don't like technology enough to get involved in all of it. And as little as I get to deer hunt these days, it's more about just being out in the woods. And if I'm lucky enough to get one, hey, I'll take it, but I'll put in a little bit of footwork if I really think there's a chance to it. To help, but I'm not going to rely on a lot of technology to do it. But also, I'm not going to go back to throwing rocks at them either. You know, I will use what I need to use when I need to use it. I said we're going to talk to Geddes Brannon. We have Geddes on the line right now. Geddes, how are you?
Yes, sir. I'm hot, and man, it's been a little bit better than today, but it was a nice day out on Lake Norman. It was interesting, to say the least.
Yeah, I was going to ask you for a fishing report, but I don't know if you want to give one or not.
Well, the fishing report, I think, from just about everybody you talked to, is pretty rough out here today. It got up in the mid-90s and water degrees. It probably rose about 4 or 5 degrees just as long as we were out there.
And it's already about warm, too.
Oh, yes, sir. It's about 93, and then it was earlier today it was, when we blasted, I was probably in the mid-70s, but it was a tough day out there.
I hear you. Well, what other lakes have you were fishing a good bit here in the last couple of weeks. Where all have you fished?
I've been fishing Lake Norman a good bit, and it's been good to me the last few weeks. I can't complain too much. Had a couple good finishes the last few weeks, won a couple smaller tournaments out here. And me and Shane Lee Hugh with Shane's Bait came out here on Tuesday, I believe, and we had a really good day out here and took some video footage for iCast and did some really cool stuff. And just remind the listeners, if y'all would, you can visit Shane's Bait at facebook.com/Shane's Bait. And if y'all mention Woods and Water South Carolina on shanesbait.com, I believe, and I'm actually pretty sure, that you're still valid for a free swimsuit to go back on the back of his Alabama rigs, which are made out of military-grade aluminum and really light and castable, and they swim really well. They might not be the best thing to throw right at this second, just how hot it is.
It'll wear you out.
Oh, yeah, it will. And, you know, it's more of a late fall through early spring type of bait. Step up in Alabama, people still throw a little bit. And, you know, the tour and the elites, and I believe even the opens have restrictions against Alabama.
They do. They do.
So... Well, Gettys, playing field there for a little while.
I gotcha. Well, if you haven't heard Gettys on the show before, Gettys is the president of the University of South Carolina Anglers Collegiate Bass Tournament team. And there's some news here. You went, a couple weeks ago, you went up to Pickwick.
Yes, sir.
And I will tell everybody, you told me that you fell in and ruined your phone.
Yeah, they didn't, you know, I tried to throw the iPhone 5 at them. They didn't want to bite it very well.
Well, they might bite that, but then they go bite it attached to you, right?
Well, unfortunately, you know, I fell in. I thought I had a pretty waterproof case, but it decided to go the other way on me.
I gotcha. Okay, so you went to Pickwick. You and Patrick went to Pickwick.
Yes, sir.
You weighed in five fish each day.
We did. We weighed in five fish the first day for a little over 17 pounds. We did a trailered weigh-in, which is kind of interesting. It was about a mile away from the campus that we weighed in at. We had a police escort. Well, as fun and everything as that sounds, it ended up taking about 3 hours to get to the weigh-in.
Wow.
The next day they did away with it, and we got there a lot faster. I think the next day we had a mid high 14s,
yeah,
something like that. It wasn't really quite what we were hoping for, but it was enough to get us into the national championship on Tuesday the next couple weeks. And we unfortunately hadn't been able to do that since 2009, since our club's been around. So it's a good feeling to be able to break, I guess, that barrier for our club, and it's good for our sponsors, and they ultimately get a little bit more exposure, and, you know, we have a chance to qualify for the Bassmaster Classic on, I guess you would call our home lake over at Lake Hartwell.
That's exactly right. Well, congratulations on going to your first collegiate championship. Now, Chattoog, I know nothing about it. I had a hard time finding it.
That's one of the reasons that they put it on there, is, they put it on schedule, because it's hard to find outside information on it. You know, it's a pretty small reservoir. I believe it's like 7,500 acres, maybe a little bit bigger than that. And it's just, you know, it's a really deep, clear lake that has an abundance of spots.
Okay.
You'll probably see a lot of spots weighed in, a lot of probably, I would say, low teens weight. I don't think there'll be anything crazy weighed in. I mean, last year, Jacob Nummy and, Tyler Strock, I believe, from AUM came in with two good days of fish, and they caught them on a rat wake bait, which was pretty crazy looking, and they were throwing it over some suspended brush, some deep brush piles near the bank. I mean, it's basically all bluffs because it's in the middle of the mountains in North
right.
Georgia. It's a beautiful area, but it's gonna be a tough challenge for all the competition that's in it. You know, what we need to do is make it in the top four during
okay.
the actual team tournament. Then after the team tournament, the top four break down into individual boats, and you go to a 101 elimination bracket. Then you ultimately decide who goes to the Bassmaster Classic. So
now, how many guys will go? Will it just be one?
Just one.
Just one. And how many teams are going to be fishing that tournament? Do you know?
I think 158 from, I'm trying to think, maybe 58 different universities.
Okay.
I don't know the exact.
Okay.
I know that 22 qualified at Pickwick.
Right.
And you know, Pickwick was a really fun time, with the exception of falling in the water and losing my phone all week, which, you know, in this day and age, it actually probably helped me at the end of the day, because you're not
made to concentrate.
You're out, yeah, exactly. You're out there practicing. You're actually looking at the line. Patrick would last. I would be sitting there focused in on my line, and he would tap the back of my rod when I wasn't looking. Sure enough, I think I had a bite. It was pouring down rain, and you know, it was a crazy week. And we ultimately did about only 15% of fishing during practice. We did about 85% of scanning, and that's a big thing out on the Tennessee River now, is you can't go out there and really find fish anymore without people seeing you and marking them
right.
as they go by.
Which, right.
You know, it's getting kind of crazy the way technology is now.
The guy, I know
they ride right past you, and some of them don't even turn off the volume. You know,
oh yeah,
hit the button and it beats
yep.
as loud as ever, and you're just like, really?
Yep.
But we actually, you know, we figured out a way to go mark some fish without people seeing us, and came up with some good schools, and ultimately at the end of the day, it paid off pretty well, and we were able to go to some of our smaller schools during practice and just figure out which baits they were going to buy.
Okay.
And you know, I mentioned in weigh-in in a couple different articles that we threw a lot of football jigs, and that's what the majority of our fish came on. I think nearly 80% of them came off of football jigs, and they were the greenfish tackle football jigs. It's like a crawl ball style head. It's a little bit different than anything else that's out there. And the rest of them came on drop shot, so that was interesting.
What do you think they're going to come on in Chattoog?
You're looking at probably a drop shot, maybe some type of crazy wake bait, topwater type ordeal.
Okay, early.
And, you know, never count out the big swim baits up there.
I got you.
You know, they throw the big, huge, like triple trout, I think is what it called, what the people that make them.
They're
pretty big swim baits.
7 or 8 inches long or so?
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the kicker bait, I guess.
Okay.
Would be what we were going for. Oh, just a second. Sorry about that,
it's all right.
Everybody.
Well, good. Well, I hope you do well. Now, that's going to be, what date is that tournament? That's the end of July 1st of August.
Yes, sir. It's going to begin on July 31st, and it'll end on August 2nd.
Okay.
It's going to be off limits. It's been off limits since the day after we qualified at Pickwick.
So
the 28th. And then we have about 3.5 days of practice, I believe.
Okay. All right. Well, good. Well, look, congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm going to do my best to get over there. One of those days y'all are fishing it.
That would be nice. Yes, sir. It's not too far away from Greenville.
No, it's not.
You know, I think it's
2 hours.
It's some miles away, or maybe it's, I guess, further than that then.
Well, it's back roads. You have to take some back roads to get there.
Oh, yeah. Mountain miles. But,
mountain miles.
I appreciate you having me back on.
Yes, sir.
And as I said last time, if everybody would go to our Facebook page and Anglers at USC, and we'll have some T-shirts and everything at the Forest Foot Cup. And we're actually doing a $500 Visa prepaid card giveaway sponsored by FLW, and it's eligible for any college student. It's the FLW Anglers at USC dorm room giveaway.
Okay.
We'll be at the Ranger booth as well. So
all
if
right.
you want to come by and see us, we'll be there. And I believe the dates for the Cup are August 12th through the 14th.
Okay, bud.
And you can double check that. But I appreciate it.
Yep.
Thank you.
We'll see you.
Have a good one.
All right.
When you need to service your GM vehicle, come to the dealership that's been doing it right for over 70 years, Sitton Buick GMC. All the Sitton technicians are talented, certified, and GM factory trained. And that makes a world of difference, because you'll feel confident knowing your vehicle is in good hands. So whether you need routine service or a major overhaul, Sitton has the qualified people to do the job right the first time. You know, I hope you're never in an accident, but if you are, bring your vehicle to Sitton's state-of-the-art collision center. These professional technicians work on any make or model. From start to finish, they'll make it their priority to restore your vehicle's safety, comfort, and performance. To make it easier, Sitton works closely with all insurance companies. And of course, the estimates are free. Check out everything that's available to you on their website at SittonGM.com. That's SittonGM.com. Sitton Buick GMC on the Motor Mile at 2640 Lawrence Road in Greenville. Sitton Buick GMC.
Going out to eat. Not as fun as it used to be. Not only has food quality gone downhill, but customer service is non-existent. At Southern Fried Green Tomatoes, we are family-owned and operated, and our mission has always been to offer delicious home-cooked meats and vegetables with passion. That means providing outstanding customer service. Because to us, you are more than just a customer, you're family, and eating with us should feel like home. Don't forget Kids Eat Free every Monday and Wednesday night and all day Saturday.
Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Appreciate Getty's coming on. He was in summer school early, and we were trying to get some time together to go fishing and just couldn't match up time. He had the Pickwick thing came up, so he was up there practicing and tournament fishing, and then he's been shooting video up on Lake Norman. He was telling me about that, and he actually told me in his text a little bit earlier today that it was so hot they lost a couple of fish at the weigh-in. It was just so hot even the live wells couldn't keep them refreshed, and he was pretty bummed about that when he was texting me earlier. But he said he was going to ICAST. I think he's going down to rep one of the baits he was using. Just a busy young fella working on some things down in Columbia. I'm going to get with him and see where those are. But just a nice guy to talk to. All right, let's get a little bit of news, but. You know, we've got a red snapper season is going on right now. I guess this weekend it was, yesterday, today, Sunday and Monday. Now I looked at the weather forecast down there and boy, they are having just some bad storms offshore. So I don't know if that was yesterday too, but I know there's probably not many people out snapper fishing today. Maybe it'll clear off a little rest of the week. But if you're going down or you know somebody that likes to go snapper fishing, down in Hilton Head Boathouse, they're having a red snapper fishing tournament for the three weekends of snapper season, which is, the 11th through the 14th, the 18th through the 21st, and the 25th and 27th. And it's going to benefit the Waddell Mariculture Center down in, Beaufort, which was really neat. And I tried to get Al Stokes on. He couldn't come on to talk about this. I had an email from one of the sponsors who couldn't make it today. So maybe we'll try to get those on next week. You know, there's some controversy, and we actually had a boat captain from, I think it's Mark Brown, I think from down in Charleston, is actually made it on the board this year. He was appointed by Haley because there's a lot of this, you know, why do we only have a 10-day, 11-day snapper season, and down on the Gulf Coast, even worse. You know, fishing charters are going out of business because they're giving them 4 days of snapper fishing, and they make a lot of their money during snappers. So not only important for Waddell as a benefit, but also because they're doing a lot of the research on the snapper to try to find out where our snapper stocks are and that sort of thing. Because, as you remember, we talked a couple of weeks ago, the South Atlantic Fisheries Management Council, when they passed all these no fishing zones on live bottoms and all that, they deleted any requirement for studies. So there's no way to know, at least from their standpoint, there's no results to measure whether they're doing the stocks are recovering or if they never were as in bad shape as they thought they were or that sort of thing. So anyway, three weekends of snapper season, there is a tournament. It's going to benefit, Waddell Mariculture Center. There's also, they would like for you to donate your red snapper carcasses to the DNR. They've got drop-offs in North Myrtle Beach, Merle's Inlet, Georgetown. You can go to the DNR website, find out where these places are, and actually the Boathouse Restaurant there in Hilton Head is one of these places, and donate your carcass so we can get some good science out of this and just see, you know, where are we? Because there's a, the, in fact, if you read some articles about what they're trying to do off the Pacific coast around Hawaii and some of those islands, they're talking of millions and millions of acres. They're just going to say you can't fish in anymore. So it's starting big, and I'm not a huge offshore guy. I golf a couple times a year, and you know, I enjoy it, but I'm not really up on those subjects as much as I probably could be. But on the other hand, I love the inshore fishing, and what happens offshore is going to migrate inshore. And it's going to start with all the offshore guys saying it's not worth having these big boats and burning all the gas. So they're going to sell off. They're going to come inshore. And then the people who said, okay, we can't have offshore fish anymore, are going to start working on the inshore fishery. So something to keep out with. I'm going to try to get some next weekend. I'm going to try to have Al or somebody on to talk about the red snapper populations, the research, the tournaments, and that sort of thing. So tune in again. If you like the offshore fisheries, tune in. We'll cover that some more next week. There was a great, great article from Fox News on the 9th, and it says, the murder rate drops as concealed carry permits rise. This is John Lott, and John's a researcher. He's put out a couple of books, and he does research and that sort of thing, but he said, and I'll just read a little bit from the article, a dramatic spike in the number of Americans with permits to carry concealed weapons coincides with an equally stark drop in violent crime, according to a new study, which Second Amendment advocates say makes the case that more guns can mean safer streets. And it was a study by the Crime Prevention Research Center found that 11.1 million Americans now have permits to carry concealed. That's up from 4.5 million in 2007. That's a 146% increase, even as murder and violent crime rates have dropped by 22%. So when you allow people to carry concealed handguns, you see changes in the behavior of criminals. That's a quote from John Lott. He says, you know, when you do that, he said, some criminals stop committing crimes, others move on to crimes in which they don't come into contact with victims, and others actually just move out of the areas where they don't have to worry about being confronted by an armed victim. I don't have a concealed carry. Sometimes I wish I did, but I do carry mine with me when I need it. But this is, it's a correlation, and I think it's very true. You know, when you have a criminal out there who is bent on doing you ill will, and he's got concealed carry rates are going up, there's a 50-50 chance he may pick the wrong person. He's going to think twice sometimes. So those of you who have concealed carries, congratulations. You are contributing to the decline in violent crime. And it's amazing. If Florida has the most active concealed carry permits, Texas second, and Hawaii has the fewest. Now you could believe that. And they're actually working on the California now must allow law-abiding series citizens to, there's a big court case out there. So California could be in line for what Illinois just went through when their law was struck down in Illinois. So, and, as if our U.S. Senate and Congress didn't have a low enough approval rate, here's a story out of Alexandria, Virginia, July the 10th, 2014. This is from the American Sport Fishing Association news release. Today, the U.S. Senate effectively killed the Bipartisan Sportsman's Act of 2014 when it failed to pass a vote that would have moved the bill forward. If you can believe this, the last day when it came up to vote, people submitted 81 amendments. And it says many of which were not supported by the sporting community or germane to the original bill. So it's just politics as usual up in Washington. You got to give it to those people. They really know how to get nothing done. Of course, times like these, I'm all for gridlock. The less they do, probably the better off I am. But just to keep you up to date on what our Congress is doing for us. If you want to go trout fishing, Department of Natural Resources is still stocking trout. On Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of this past week, they stocked the Big East Otoe River, the South Saluda, the Chaga, the East Fork of the Chattooga and the Chattooga River. So they're down a little bit. Normally this number's around 10,000. It's down to about 5,500, but that's just the heat of summer. So hey, go trout fishing. And don't forget to renew your South Carolina hunting and fishing licenses, fishing especially. You're out of, if you don't have a new one, you're in violation of the law, kind of speak. So get that one done. I got mine in the mail the other day. It's a seamless online process now. Really easy to get to. Now, a little bit of news on the program. The next few months are going to be very busy, and I think you'll like what's coming. There's a couple of events over the next few months that I'm going to be at that really could take this show to a new level, and I hope it does. A couple of shows I'm going to. I'm talking to a charity. I've been looking since this show came on the air for a charity I could get behind and support. And I think I found that one, and they do some outdoor fundraisers, which I think you will enjoy knowing about or getting involved in. They actually have a couple of charity events here in the upstate that the guys over at Weekend Pulse, Joey Martin, I think they're going to be talking about that too. We've got the FLW Tour coming to South Carolina, and I will be there. I'll be on the inside looking out, and I'll be on the water. And I'll have reports, interviews from that. Hopefully I will be able to do the same thing with the BASS tournament when it comes in February. There's a tournament coming up that 94.5 will be at down on Hartwell's, the Fishers of Men tournament. We'll be down there that day. You can come out and see us there. At the FLW Tour Championship at the Convention Center, the Department of Natural Resources is going to have a kids' fishing pond. Now, they do this at the Palmetto Sportsman's Classic every year. They're going to be doing it down there at the convention center. And don't forget, that's in August. That's like the 14th through the 17th. We've got the barbecue and bass cook-off on Friday with the South Carolina Barbecue Association. That's going to be at the convention center. The kids' fishing pond is going to be there at the convention center. I think Getty said he was going to be there. I will be there on Friday, working with the Department of Natural Resources. I'm volunteering at the fishing pond to take your fish off your kids' hooks and that sort of thing. So I hope you put that on your calendar to come down and enjoy the FLW Tour and all that it brings. You know, they'll have the boats and the tackle and the names that you've heard of all your life, like Jimmy Houston, those guys. Some of those guys will be there like they were here when the BASS tournament was down and weighing in at the TD Convention Center. So I hope you put that on your calendar. Make sure you're a part of that. Then in February, you're going to have the BASS tournament down on Lake Hartwell. A lot of good fishing events here in South Carolina. A lot of good places to fish, and that's why they come here. So I hope you'll stay tuned to this show. There are some good things coming, and I want you to be a part of it. Okay, let's see. Chuck Norris for today. And this is a good one. Chuck Norris once climbed Mount Everest in 15 minutes. 14 minutes of that, he was building a snowman at the bottom. Gotta love Chuck Norris. And I'm running a little bit on my time here, so I'll fit in another news story. Gunmakers flee the Northeast for the true blood Second Amendment states. You know, I told you about Remington Firearms, PTR Industries is coming down. You know, Remington had been in business since 1816 in New York State, and they are moving to Alabama. Sturm Ruger is doing a 220,000 square foot building in North Carolina. Colt Manufacturing, headquartered in Connecticut, moved shop to Texas at the tail end of 2013. Beretta has decided to abandon Maryland and move to Tennessee. So, you know, we're becoming the place for gun manufacturers in the South, and that's a thing we ought to be proud of. So, there's James in the background, which means it's another day in woods and water. Go check out the website, Facebook page. The weather for this week looks great. There's a polar vortex coming down. Looks like it's going to be in the low 80s. Hope the weather is better for you snapper fishermen next weekend. Find some time to get outside. Travel the back roads when you can. Don't forget the camera, and I'll see you back here next Saturday. Ain't it just like a friend?